This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Our good friend Joe Starkey's been texting me, Doran Dickerson.
What's he been saying?
Well, he's doing the old man thing here. I love Joe. I love Joe to death. He's one of my favorite people. He's doing the old man thing where it's not his phone number that's popping up. It's his Gmail account. You ever have that happen?
Mm-hmm.
It's always the old dudes, right?
I feel like something's wrong with his phone, right? I mean, what happens whenever that happens? Or is he texting from his iPad or something?
I don't know what's going on. I think he might be texting me from his iPad. And if that's the case, then Joe, I apologize for calling you an old man. You're a very nice person. But he said, what am I missing on the new NFL kickoff rule? Won't they still kick out of the end zone all the time? It comes back to the 30. That's only a 5-yard difference. So then I replied and I said, that's what I thought. That's the exact thing that I thought. But the XFL saw a 90% kickoff return rate. 90%. The NFL had a 21% return rate last year, 90% in the XFL. The head of the competition committee says they believe it's going to be between an 80 and 90% kickoff return rate. He also said that this is a 1-year trial, and if the return rate's not as high as they think that it will be, that next year they might make the touchback to the 35.
Hmm.
Now, Starkey was asking, if the XFL touchback goes to the 35 or the 30, and that's an answer that I have not been able to find.
We'll ask Doug.
We'll ask Doug Whaley coming up at 9 o'clock. He's our resident XFL expert, as he's deeply involved with the league, and I believe that that's why he's not going to be in studio. He'll be on the phone because he's doing stuff for the XFL, correct?
Yes.
I don't know that it'll be up to 80, 90% because it is only a 5-yard difference in the touchback. I do think it's going to be significantly higher than it has been. If it's 50%, I think that would be an improvement in the eyes of the league.
Yeah.
If it's 60%, 70%, whatever it is, going to be higher than 21%, and that's what they're looking for.
But wouldn't you? But if you're kicking the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson, wouldn't you take the touchback over kicking the ball to him and having him possibly return it for a touchdown?
The hubris of special teams coaches and NFL head coaches never ceases to amaze me.
So wait, so you're 5 yards apart, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the front line and the kickoff.
So you kick the – yes, they're 5 yards apart.
It's easier to block, and you know, I made a living, honestly, doing kickoff return. So you would have to run back at least 25 yards, set up, wait for somebody to run into you, or try to, like, shuffle side to side to figure out how to block somebody and then ride them a certain way. Very, very tough skill to do in football. One of the toughest things to do in football. If you're 5 yards apart, it's easier to block. I mean, it's just nature. There's probably going to be a significant amount of returns. If your front line guys are able to sustain their block
mm-hmm.
from a guy that's running 5 yards away.
Yeah, they're not coming at full speed,
right.
And you're already in your spot.
You're already there 5 yards apart. It's easier to block somebody. There's going to be a significant amount of returns. So if I'm a kickoff team, I'd rather take the extra 5 yards than it used to be than give up a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I that's just kind of how I look. I mean, I feel like there's going to be a significant amount of return touchdowns this year. because his blocking is a lot easier.
Well, just using Cordarrelle Patterson as sort of our talking point here, his career average is 29 yards a return, and that's with the last few years where it hasn't been that because of the rules. Let's say he catches the ball at the one. His average is get it to that touchback line at 30. You're right. I probably would just opt to kick that thing through the end zone. You're going to find out a lot in preseason, I think. You're going to find out a lot. If guys are having success because of what you're saying, it's easier to block, then I do think we'll still see the ball get kicked through the end zone. Either way, though, aren't you happy about that if you're the NFL? Because instead of it being the 25, it is the 30, thus helping the offense even incrementally so, and that's what the league's all about right now is the offense.
That's what they're about. I mean, you figure you have how many yards to get to basically the green zone, and then you're close to the gold zone. Mm-hmm. Or go close to the red zone.
Don't talk to me about gold zones, red zones, blue zones, because now there's a drop zone. I feel like it's Normandy. isn't that wild? They're like, the ball must land in the designated drop zone. And if it does, once the ball lands in the drop zone, that's when the kickoff return team can run down the field. It is really convoluted. The only way that I was able to actually understand it, Doran, wasn't through reading.
Wait a minute.
But it was from seeing the cut-ups online from the XFL.
So I've admitted that I don't put myself in situations where I try to figure these things out. I kind of do it on the fly. Like, I don't even want to read through anything and try to figure it out. So you're trying to tell me that the kickoff unit can run whenever it's kicked off or whenever it drops?
When it either lands in the drop zone or when it's caught by the returner in the drop zone.
And
the returner,
that's whenever the kickoff unit can run?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Think about that.
I have.
So if you're going to catch the ball and nobody's even running at you, then you can run and then you're going to get blocked. You're going to get 30 yards because nobody's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless.
They should, to Starkey's point into what you're talking about right now, they should just make it, the touchback should be the 35.
Yes.
Because it's not going to be 80 to 90% return rate. It's not going to be. But if it were at the 35, I think now we're cooking with some gas. Why? Because so many fans are saying we need more kickoff returns. I mean, have fans bitched about this? Like, it's a topic of conversation and a big one right now, but I don't know one NFL fan, and all of our friends are NFL fans. I don't know one who has said we need more kickoffs in our lives.
It's not about the fans. Like, I don't, like you keep bringing up like the fans bitching about it. It's about safety.
Well, the safest possible thing is the way they had it before, which is you kick it through the end zone and 79% of these kicks aren't returned. That's the safest thing.
Not necessarily. You're still running down and you're still colliding.
Yeah. But the majority of people weren't getting injured in the blocking. Like, it wasn't blocker takes on a coverage man and that's where the injuries are happening. It was the injuries from the collision of coverage guy and returner. So if it was all about player safety, it would just, you keep it the way it was, where 80% of kicks weren't being returned.
Why not just eliminate kickoffs?
What I want is, here's my radical NFL rule change. What I want is a recently retired player, quarterback, from every franchise in the NFL should throw it off. Eliminate the kickers. Have Ben Roethlisberger throw the thing off. Do it that way. Like you do in backyard football.
Right, throw it up.
Mm-hmm. Just throw it up. But then they've eliminated, it's all about player safety. They've eliminated the fair catch. It's not something anybody was asking for. Were players asking for this?
No.
The competition committee does all kind of stuff that they say is good for the game. And it's not current players that are making these decisions.
Do you think that they're trying to make the game harder for people for teams to think more, to try to catch them off guard? Kind of like last year, like San Francisco didn't know the overtime rules. Do you think it's on purpose to make the game harder for teams that, like, you have to know so many things within the game that if you get it wrong, you could lose?
I don't think so.
No?
I think they think they're adding, and they probably are adding, a competitive play that had ceased being a competitive play. That's why they pushed the extra point back, because, extra points are competitive plays. I think what they should have done, and they never would have done this, eliminate the commercial break right after the kickoff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So instead of it being touchdown, extra point, break, kickoff, break, they should do touchdown, extra point, break, kickoff, right in the game flow. Like, okay, the play's not competitive, but it's actually safe because nobody's returning these things. You want people's attention? Kickoff return. Now we're playing real football from the line of scrimmage again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would have done.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just charge more for commercials.
Mm-hmm.
But what do I know? The whole thing is a convoluted mess. I'm okay with it because the Steelers signed the best kickoff return man in the history of the sport. And so they found a way to have a competitive advantage here. But as far as the impact of this thing league-wide, it does not do much for me, and it's nothing that I've ever asked for.
Like I said yesterday, like I'm okay with the discussion around the hip drop tackle because that is a legit safety concern, and I can see, and I'm not for it, but I can see why they ruled that that is a penalty now, and the discussion around that. But to add and to change things like the kickoff rule, like it's just unnecessary.
What do you make of the people, Doran, that say that because of the new hip drop rules, you might find more injuries because players are thinking too much out
100%.
There?
100%. I mean, this is all, like, defensive players, they are in such a bind every single play. Every single time they walk on the field, they're in a bind. Like, things happen so fast, and you're taught at a young age how to play and how to tackle a certain way. It's hard to change those habits. And whenever you start thinking and have to change those habits, whenever it's a combat sport, that's whenever you aren't going 100%. If you're going 98% in the NFL, that's whenever you start thinking, and that's whenever you do get hurt.
Yeah.
So there's going to be more injuries, I think, and knock on wood, I hope there's no injuries, but there's going to be more injuries of guys hesitating than guys actually getting brought down to the ground.
I'm happy to have you speak on that because that was what I was thinking, but I don't know. I'm not out there playing. But paralysis by analysis and all of us, how do I bring this guy down? Bang, you get. I don't know. I do think the more you want guys to be out there, be athletic, react. And this takes an element of that away. And I don't think that they thought that all the way through. All right, I blew off the tees there because we got in the weeds, but I'm happy that we did. Up next, there is an outlet that thinks the Steelers had the worst offseason so far of any team in the AFC North. Why? We'll get into that. And also, a national NFL analyst gets it laughably wrong on the Steelers. We're going to make fun of him. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Armstrong Comfort with Matt Mertz Plumbing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Fan text lines brought to us by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We haven't been able to have access to the text line because Matt Cole, well, he doesn't work here anymore, and we were all using his login. I guess that's not fair to say he doesn't work here anymore. He's just not full-time anymore. And so Cole texted me during the last break and said, why the hell is everybody using my text line login? Well, we're not anymore. And so my response to him was quick. And it was concise, and it was, can you fix it? And I think the answer on that is no.
No.
So if you are somebody that typically texts into the show all morning long, we will effort to get that figured out, but you can tweet us at underscore Adam Crowley and at score and Doran. Callis, what's your Twitter handle? You can go through Callis too.
At Callas underscore 33, C-A-L-L-A-S.
Okay, very good. Couple of bad takes, I think, on the interwebs about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do we want to start with Bart Scott? I think we do.
Yes, do it.
So Bart Scott, he is employed by ESPN. Here's a take he dropped yesterday, which is, it's so laughably bad, I want to punch him in the face.
I think he's potentially going to save the general manager's job, because you talk about Kenny Pickett, you know, that was talking about falling flat on your face, you know, in a draft that didn't have a lot of good quarterbacks. You know, they took him and they took Najee Harris in the first round, and they needed talent. And this is an influx of talent. This is a guy that makes the running game better because of his ability, you know, 1,000-yard rusher. I think this gives them an opportunity to compete. I still didn't think that this doesn't put them over the top, you know, thinking about who they're dealing with. This gives them a fighter's chance.
Yes, Omar Khan famously drafted Najee Harris and Kenny Pickett. What is this guy even talking about?
Listen, whenever you get into this industry, if you're a former player, I feel like your job is to be objective, obviously, with teams, and to be as neutral as possible, to give your analysis, to give your expertise. And what Bart Scott does is he plays the game like he's playing, or he does his job like he's a player. And every time the Steelers get brought up, he hates the Steelers. And every time the Steelers are brought up in discussion on ESPN, he finds a way to diminish the Steelers. And it's a personal thing with him. And every time he does it, he finds himself in a hole. And he sounds stupid because he's acting like he's a player. No, give your analysis, do your homework, and give people that are watching what they want to know and what they should know and what they could learn from a situation. Bart Scott, every time he talks, he doesn't make any sense. He's calling players out. He's talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers whenever there's a general manager here before that wasn't even here now, that isn't even here now. Like, the guy has he tries to do all these loops and go through all these different angles to try to attack certain people and certain teams, which the Steelers is one of them. And every time he does it, he sounds stupid. And he's not making any sense.
No, he went out of his way to try to find a way to take a shot at the Steelers.
Yes.
And in doing so, he's totally uninformed here. Like, he's trying to find an angle that
Absolutely.
Nobody else has to rip the Steelers. Oh, you know what? This is going to save the general manager's job after he screwed up drafting Kenny Pickett. Well, he didn't draft Kenny Pickett. That is a good point. He dislikes the franchise so much, they kept him out of the Super Bowl. Remember, can't wait. We'll go play Pittsburgh. They beat New England. Can't wait. Play him in the 2010 AFC Championship game. They kept him out of a Super Bowl with the Jets. They beat him all the time whenever he was a Baltimore Raven. And so he's trying to bend over backwards like it's Twister to criticize the team. And so he has to fabricate something in order to do that.
And he wasn't even trying to fabricate. He just didn't know. He was just very ignorant about the situation and didn't care. And he wanted to make the Steelers look bad, and ultimately he looked bad because he didn't have to do his homework.
What a loser Bart Scott is. What a loser. All right, here's another bad take, I think, Doran. 33rd team. It's a website that's really picked up a lot of steam. They have a lot of hot takes, right? And it's become fairly popular. So they have their AFC early off-season grades. In the AFC North, tough graders, the team at 33rd team. Baltimore Ravens, C+. Bengals, B-. Browns, C-. Steelers, C. How on God's green earth can you look at what the Steelers have done so far and give them a C? Maybe because they don't have a C? They don't have a center? They need another wide receiver? Like, those are valid criticisms, but they fixed their inside linebacker position at a bargain rate. They added one of the best kickoff return men, if not the best, in the history of the game the second that a rule changes. They have overhauled their quarterback room. What am I missing here?
I can see why the C was there. Not saying that I agree with it, but for the positions that they got rid of players, they never addressed immediately, and they addressed elsewhere. So let's think about Patrick Peterson at corner. They didn't address that or of that type of player. Deontay Johnson at wide receiver, they didn't address that type of player with Deontay Johnson, what he brought to the table. In center, they didn't address a high-quality center, and they got rid of Mason Cole. So all the players that they got rid of, like Dante Jackson, if you want to throw him in there, he's really a slot corner.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he profiles as. He's not an outside corner. Patrick Peterson, they didn't take care of that issue. They didn't take care of center. They didn't take care of number two wide receiver. So if you're looking at it, okay, you got two quarterbacks and you got one that for a bargain price and you got another one that you traded for late and you, what you traded for him for was kind of pennies. I mean, I can see a C if people are looking at it. I mean, I would give him a B plus and maybe even an A, but I can see why because of those angles that they didn't address what they got rid of.
I said last week to that point that if they don't get a center, if they don't get a number two wide receiver, I will look at this offseason a lot different than I look at it today. And this is what happens when you give out grades in the middle of an offseason. We haven't even had the draft yet. You know, there are still free agent wide receivers out there to be had. There are still trades out there to be made. Nomar said that he's looking at the center market maybe in trade. Mike Tomlin said that they might be looking at the wide receiver market via trade. So we're not done with this process yet. But that they have totally changed their quarterback room, Doran, is enough for me to go at least in the B range. Like, just because you've totally facelifted that position, if they had done nothing else, I'd still right now, give them a B. There is no more impactful position. They added a potential Hall of Famer and a guy that is significantly more talented than any of the guys you had there before. That alone means you can't be in the C range.
I mean, the situation is better for the Steelers in the quarterback room, but from the outside looking in is the situation. I mean, you don't know about Justin Fields. He's a, you know, he's a gamble. He's a 50-50 guy. He's a lot of intangibles, but really hasn't done anything significant. And then you look at Russell Wilson, and it's like, okay, like, what did he do, really? I mean, we break it down because we're, you know, more in detail of the situation. But if you look at Russell Wilson from a glance, it's like, what did he do in Denver?
I'm just wondering, and you're right about that, and that's what all the naysayers have said. Russ wasn't as good in Denver as we've made him out to be here in Steelers land. And Justin Fields, really, not a lot of teams wanted him. That's what people will throw back in our face. And I do think that that's valid. However, you had a terrible quarterback room, and you have to consider what's available to you. Baker Mayfield did not make it to free agency. That would have been the best possible upgrade they could have made at the position, according to me, Adam Richard Crowley, Doran. But he didn't even make it to free agency. I never would have been on board with signing Kirk Cousins to a massive deal when he's the same age as Russell Wilson, not that dissimilar of a player, and he's coming off of a massive career injury. There weren't options out there that the Steelers could have kicked the tires on that were realistic. They got both of the guys that were realistic. So it's not, okay, are the Steelers now one of the best teams in the NFL with one of the best quarterback situations in the NFL? No, it's what's the best job you can do with what's available? And I think they did the best job they could have done with what's available. And so for that reason, I got to go B or higher. What do you think? 412-928-9370. You can weigh in on this conversation. And do you think the Steelers had a better offseason to this point than those teams in the division? Again, 412-928-9370. Coming up next, looks like the Pirates missed out on another opportunity, Doran. And I am optimistic about them, but I also don't want to give them too much credit. I'll explain.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Looks like the Pirates missed out on an opportunity to upgrade their rotation. We'll talk about that in a moment. Doran, I was thinking a lot about this Cordarrelle Patterson signing by the Steelers as, okay, this is a response to the kickoff rule, and I think in a lot of ways it is. You think he's going to touch the ball a lot this year on offense, though?
I think a decent amount. I think if you put in there, it just gives the defense something else to look for and something else to prepare for. You may even see three running back sets. I mean, he could play wide receiver. He can, you know, he's a bigger body. I mean, he could play even H-back if they wanted him to. I think he's going to touch the ball a decent amount on offense and brings another element to the game. He's not going to be a focal point because you got Najee Harris, you got Jaylen Warren. But as a third running back and using different sets and put him in different areas, yeah, definitely. I think that he'll be used.
I was looking at some highlights of him during the break where You know, he'd start in the backfield, and then they'd motion him out into the slot, and you've got a bulkier linebacker that's following him, and he's in the red zone. He goes up in high points of football. No, I had only thought of this really from the return aspect, but you brought it up even before the show. You know, just deal with, this guy can be a weapon. My hope is, though, that because I thought this happened in Atlanta with Arthur Smith, just because you've got a lot of gadgets to play with, I don't think you want to play with all of them too much. Like, I still think your best players are the ones that primarily need to touch the football. I'm all for using all your guys. I just want to make sure that the best players still have the volume there. Because I think that's one of the criticisms of him from Atlanta, Arthur Smith, was you have the great running back from Texas, Bijan Robinson. He comes in, he doesn't touch the ball very much. You have Pitts, the tight end, who got targeted a fair amount. Maybe that's more of a quarterback issue, but did not get targeted as much as I know fans in Atlanta would have liked. Just be careful there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he did come into the league as a wide receiver. I mean, he's 33 years old. He did come in as a wide receiver, then transitioned to running back. So, I mean, I got a guy that's 6'2", 220 pounds that can still play and can play multiple positions. You're going to use him.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? I mean, you'd be doing a disservice not to.
And you've now added a third running back to your room that is also obviously going to contribute on special teams. So he crosses a couple of things right off that checklist. Like, if they had brought in another third or fourth wide receiver, you don't need that. There'd be redundancies there. You got Quez Watkins. You have Vance Jeff. What's his name?
Van Jefferson.
Why did I call him Vance? The old white tight end for the Steelers.
McDonald.
Yeah, Vance McDonald. So you got those two guys already. If they had added another wide receiver to be their kick returner, that would have been too much.
You're saving a roster spot, mm-hmm. too. I mean, it'd be different if he was just brought in to be a kick returner, and then you still had to get another wide receiver, then you still had to get another third running back. Like, that's a situation where you're playing with the roster. Now you can fill those roles, but actually keep an extra D-back,
mm-hmm.
or keep an extra keep an extra D-lineman in certain games because he can fill those other roles.
Good point. On to the Pirates, Doran Dickerson?
Yes.
So the Diamondbacks signed Jordan Montgomery to a one-year, $25 million deal. And they were never going to do this, but the Pirates absolutely could have done that. That would have boosted their payroll, according to SpotRac, to $92 million. That would have put them 20th in the sport. That also would have put them about $8 million behind where they were in 2015. And payrolls are going up since 2015. Obviously, inflation, things of that nature. They could have done it. Their payroll would have been $92 million. He had an ERA of 3.20 last season and 3.68 in his career. When we were talking to Neil Walker and John Wehner yesterday, I said, I'm optimistic about the Pirates. I think they're going to score a lot of runs. I think if their bullpen is healthy, it's going to be one of the best in the sport. I think they can be right in that 80-win range, and that will have them in striking distance to win the division because, well, the Zips projections have the Cardinals as the favorite at 83 wins. This is an eminently winnable division, Doran. But then you look at the rotation, and instead of Luis Ortiz being your fourth or fifth starter, it's Bailey Falter, who had an ERA around 8 in spring training, who only had one scoreless appearance, gave up a bunch of home runs. He gave up a bunch of home runs last year. If they're good, it's not going to be totally on accident because they have developed these young players that are exciting and a part of this lineup. And they have addressed their bullpen and made it good. But they'll almost be doing it in spite of themselves. They are one legit starter short of probably being the favorite in the division. So if they are good, if they do win the division, we'll all be very happy about that. I don't know how much praise we need to heap on them, though, if that makes sense. Like, Montgomery was out there. You would have had to pay him. He's not a clubhouse cancer. Trevor Bauer is, but he would come cheap.
Mm-hmm.
They could sign him. They didn't. Domingo Germán, they could have signed him earlier and got him up to speed to be in the rotation from day one. This is a division that's winnable. These games in September, they matter just as much as the games at the end of the year. Paul Skeens isn't going to be in the rotation early. If they make the playoffs, they're doing it kind of in spite of themselves.
How much do you read into Skeens starting in AAA?
I can't read anything in it, Doran, until I see when he is brought up. If they wait just a couple of weeks and it's all about service time, I will applaud them for it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's around Memorial Day that he's up, I think they've waited too long, and I think the refrain will be it's the same old Pirates, and I think that'll be fair. So I don't mind that Skeens starts in AAA. He does have to get used to pitching every fifth day. You do want to ramp him up. You do need to be careful with him. But you can also do all those things at the big league level once that service time clock gets to 172 days. If they don't do it, they're ripe for criticism. If they do do it, then, hey, applaud them. And they are doing it with Jared Jones. So that's at least a step in the right direction. But the rotation on paper makes you go, ugh. And if they wind up, dude, if the Cardinals win 84 games and win the division and they win 79, we should be screaming into these microphones because they had an opportunity to win it. We'll see how it plays out. Coming up next, coaches, Doran, they're just like us. We'll explain. A lot of goings on at the NFL owners' meetings the last few days. Ray Fittipaldo going to join us in about 11 minutes to discuss. The 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. So we'll dive back into Steelers with him. Jeff Capel was on yesterday with the PM team on the Feed the Need broadcast. Thanks to Pitt for giving us Pat Narduzzi, giving those guys Jeff Capel. Pitt is always a great partner on big-time days. They will always rise to the occasion. So a shout-out to them. Capel was asked, are you watching the tournament? And his answer, man, it hit me.
But I've not watched any. My best friend is the head coach at Northwestern. I watched
Chris
a
Collins.
Little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of their game against Florida Atlantic just to try to support him. But, man, I had to turn it off because I'm looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, and it's no disrespect to Chris, but like we're better than both of these teams.
I mean, woo! Is he wrong? No.
No.
Do we like that Pony needed to get in that he knows the Northwestern head coach's name?
He had to say something, right?
He did. He had
like, couldn't even just let it go. Like he knew, like Capel knew who he was talking about.
I think, and I do not
didn't want to name him.
I don't. Like, I agree with that, and I don't want. This is not meant to be offensive to anybody. I think Pony has sports Tourette's.
A little bit.
He knows so many things that come into his brain, and he can't keep them in. He can't. He was compelled. He needed to say Chris Collins. Like he could not have stopped that if he wanted to. Well, back in the 1994 AFC Championship game. Oh yeah, that was the Chargers. That was the Chargers. Their head coach, what? Like he just knows it has to come out. Yeah, Marty.
Marty.
I wonder if he wakes up in the middle of the night. Like, oh, Marty Schottenheimer.
Mark Piazza.
Punch Rodriguez. Like, he just has to do it.
Mets.
I don't think Capel is wrong there. Not by a long shot. Like, watch Northwestern play. Watch Florida Atlantic. They went to the Final Four last year. They did not play the same level of basketball. This year, Dusty May does wind up getting hired by Michigan. Look at me. I can do it, too. I have been there where Jeff Capel is right now. I've never coached a team. But I've been there when one of my teams gets eliminated, and you are so crestfallen and heartbroken about it that you can't watch. I feel that. I think that is a very natural sports fan way of existence. Like West Virginia lost to Gonzaga in a Sweet 16 a few years ago. I was so mad about the result, so ticked off about the refs, I did not watch the rest of the tournament. And you know, I eat, breathe, sleep, bleed NCAA basketball tournament. Couldn't watch it. I think fans do that all the time.
This is how you breed winning too, though. You know, whenever you are so disgusted, and I mean, we all have our situations where we've done this. Like even in high school, whenever we didn't make it to the Whippeel, it's like I'm not watching the Whippeel championship. Like forget that. But it does breed something, and it fuels the fire. Like Capel, I could just see him right now, not watching it, pacing back and forth. Like I am going to do everything I possibly can, with every, exhaust every bit of energy I can, to make it to the tournament next year and to win in the tournament next year. Like this is how things start to unravel whenever teams start to have success is little like you're so close and you get shunned. It's like, okay,
we'll just use that as a little or maybe a lot of extra motivation.
I'm telling you, and especially if the pieces fall the way that they hope to with certain players, you just watch out. This team is going to be ready to go next year.
I saw somebody quote tweet when Pony put out the quote and say, oh, so he didn't want to play in the NIT and he's not watching the tournament. He very literally took his ball and went home. I think the NIT criticism is such garbage. there were 16 teams that opted out of the NIT. To single out Pitt, I think, is absurd. And to blame him for not watching a tournament that he believed his team should have been included in, I think that's just a natural human reaction. And to your point, he's going to use it as motivation. Also, to your point, he said he doesn't believe that Bub Carleton will enter the transfer portal, that Bub, it's going to, what did I do?
Carleton.
Carrington.
Said Bub Carleton.
What is this, Fresh Prince?
I have anti-sports
it's not
Tourette's.
Not unusual to I be just, loved by yeah. anyone.
Buddy, low-key, I get names worse than Cookie did. I butch. It was it Cordero Patterson? Is it Martin Perez or Perez? I don't know. I'm bad with names. So, Capel said it's going to be between the NBA and Pitt for Bub Carrington. I just pulled up NBA.com, Doran Dickerson. Carrington is the projected 26th overall pick right now to the Washington Wizards. I think if he were top 10, he'd go. He ain't top 10. He gonna come back. And he should come back because he can make NIL money at Pitt. And then he's going to be very good next year. One of the best guards, I think, in the country. He'll play his way into the top 10, I think. I think that would be the best circumstances for him, and it would be the best thing for Pitt.
Yeah, and we're capable sitting, and you're talking to an 18-year-old and one that has just so abundance of talent. A 6'5 guard, I mean, can dribble, can do it all. If I'm sitting there talking to him and I'm putting myself in capable shoes, it's like, look, and you know, I want you to think about this. Look how much you've grown from the beginning of the year till right now. We can do that again next year. We can win. We can go right the wrongs that we're feeling right now. I mean, I know you're not watching the tournament. I'm not watching the tournament. Lowe's not watching the tournament. Everybody's upset. Austin's not watching. He's tweeting. Zach Austin's been tweeting throughout the tournament. So, hey, I can help you get there, and I feel like you trust me to do that. Now, you will have other opportunities to go elsewhere. You will have an opportunity to go to the NBA, but are you ready right now? That's a question that you have to ask yourself, and that's a question that you have to ask your parents and your support system. But if you come back, we can make sure that you are a top 10 pick.
Yeah, in a bygone era.
And you can develop, and you can be an older player mm-hmm. and have more experience.
Yeah, because he'll be 19.
Yes.
And we're talking, in a bygone era, Doran Dickerson, he could have been a one-and-done guy even at pick 26. Now it doesn't behoove him to do that. He'll be a top 10 pick next year, get all that money while being able to stay in college and get money there. It's the best of both worlds. And I think it's actually good for college basketball because I do think you're seeing less one and dones because of it. All right, coming up next, we're going to hear from Ray Fittipaldi of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on everything that happened at the NFL owners' meetings. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Save some green in March at Sun Chevy or sunchevy.com. Today, high is 62.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!